Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
One of the great blessings that we have in life as Christians is to know that we are shielded, are guarded, are protected, are kept by God. And yet it's also one of the most overlooked blessings that we have as believers and as children of God. We take for granted so often that we are in God's hand and that God is protecting and guiding and guarding and shielding us as we go through life. The word is actually for shielded that you'll see in our text is actually a military term, and it speaks of being surrounded or encompassed by the guards. It speaks of a village that has no wall around it, and yet the forces of soldiers surround that village to guard that village and to protect that village. One of the things that comes to our hearts so often is we know we are protected or shielded by God, but we take for granted that we are in God's hands. And if we were not within the hands of God, we would be of all people of most miserable. We would be of all people people who would walk in fear, and people who would be concerned and always looking because of the devil and because of others who are out to devour the Christian. If you want an example of what our world would be like when God removes His shield or removes His blessing, protection from the world, look at the 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Because at that time, the church is going to be raptured out or snatched away, as a literal Greek rendering, from this world. And the Spirit of God is going to be removed. And the world is going to be left to deal with society and with each other without the hand and the shield of God protecting. And as Jesus said, those will be days of tribulation like the world has never seen before nor will ever see again. We're blessed to be shielded by God. Simon Peter probably had a better understanding of this than most of us. Simon Peter was one of those, as you know, who often failed. He denied that he even knew Christ. He experienced different times in his life where he just fell flat on his face. He thought he could handle things himself and could handle life himself. But he came to learn over the years how to appreciate and how to learn to, instead of trusting himself, to put his trust in God and in God's protective hand. And there's one verse that I want to share with you tonight from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter writes this, and he gives us a summation, I believe, of what it's like to be under the shield of God. I look back over the years that I've been preaching messages, and I've been in the ministry for just over 47 years now. Very few times have I preached specifically about being protected, about being guarded by God. We all know about it, but so few times have I preached on that. And looking around through some books and studying as I was preparing this message this week, it came to my mind again that this is something that many Christians take for granted. We don't preach about it much, and yet it is one of the great blessings we have as Christians. And I hope to show you that tonight. In our text, just one verse, which, by the way, is part of a song. As Peter begins to write this epistle, he just breaks out in verse 3 into a song, a doxology, if you will. And in verse 5 of that, he gives us these words, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, that's just a short verse, but it is packed with the summation of what it means to be shielded by God, to have God's hand, His hedge of protection, if you want to use Old Testament terminology, to be shielded by God Himself. And you'll notice some things about this. Three things I want to point out to you, taken from this verse. And in maybe kind of a unusual manner for me, I want to start at the end of the verse and work my way toward the front, okay? So bear with me on that. But he talks about us by faith being shielded by God. But look at the purpose. This is number one. Look at the purpose for which we are shielded here. He says, by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So he is saying to us that one of the reasons that God protects us and guards us is for the purpose of bringing us into the reality of salvation. Now, when I say that, you need to understand that later on in this same chapter, when you get to, I think it's around verse 11 or so, you'll see that he talks about this present and tense of the salvation. What I want to say to you here today is that our salvation is a process. And it's a part of what God has planned and what God has promised to us as children of God. And because it's a promise of God, it will be done. But salvation, when it's spoken of here by Peter, it is in the present tense, which speaks of a continuing action, and it speaks not only of that day when we receive Christ into our life, when we bowed our heads and we prayed and asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins and come into our life. That's part of our salvation. From that moment, we were saved, and we are saved. But also, our salvation is a continuing thing. We're being sanctified. We're being molded. We are experiencing salvation in our daily life. God is growing us and preparing us for eternity. But not only that, it's salvation in our text, for that last time. Did you notice that? For the end of time. In other words, the salvation is not just in the past and in the present, but also in the future. As one seminary professor said, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. It's all part of the process of God. Now, what that ought to do is remind us that we are safe in the hands and in our salvation, because our salvation is in the hands of God. We are kept by God. One of the great blessings that we have in our salvation is that we know, that we know, that we know that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. You see, if you are not assured of your salvation, and sometimes you may question it if sin comes into your life, but one of the things that's a blessing to us is that we don't have to live each day wondering whether or not we're going to make it into heaven, wondering whether or not we can lose our salvation. Because our salvation is not based upon our works. our salvation is based upon the promise of Jesus Christ to keep us and hold us, to shield us, to guard us, to protect our salvation. It's God's purpose to fulfill His promise concerning our salvation. That's what Peter's talking about here. And he's saying the purpose of God is for us to know that we have salvation in Him. And whether we look back to that decision we made for me when I was 8 years old, or whether I look to today and how God is still working in my life and molding me and forgiving sin in my life on a daily basis as He does with you. And with His presence and with His working in my life, giving me not only the assurance, but the life of salvation so that I can live in the power of His salvation. I'll get to that in a moment. But also to know that one day, unless the Lord returns first, Jim Headley is going to breathe his last breath on this earth. And when I breathe my last breath on this earth, I know that I will immediately be before the Father and I have eternity with Him in heaven. That is one of the great blessings that you have as a Christian life. What does it do? It gives you the assurance that you have been saved. It gives you the knowledge that God is working in your life and He is continuing to mold you and make you into what you ought to be. And it gives you the assurance that when this life is over, you don't have to fear death. You just go to sleep and on earth and you just wake up in glory. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have seen many people pass from life into eternity. I have seen believers in this church who had a peace about them, who had a joy in their heart and in their life, even as they were leaving this earth and breathing their last breath, there was a peace that you could see on their face. I have seen in a few instances where a person was not a believer in Christ. And I have seen the anxiety and I have seen the fear on their faces as they passed into eternity without God. But I'm here to tell you one of the great blessings that we have is that it's the purpose of God to shield His children. To shield us, to protect us, to guard us, to make sure that the enemy does not overtake us. And that leads us to the power that we have by the shielding of God. For you see, He gives us in this same verse, coming to the middle part of that verse, when He says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Shielded by God's power. Jesus had said that all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then He gave us the great commission to go into all the world and to baptize. As we go into all the world, to baptize, to teach, to share Christ, to carry forth the witness of Jesus Christ in our life. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God who has the power to take a person from death to life. Not just physically. Jesus proved that with Lazarus and with Jairus' daughters and with others. But to take us from the death spiritually to life eternally. We serve a powerful God. And in that, He has the power to guard us, to shield us. We are shielded by God's power. Now that tells me that if God has his hands around me, if God is shielding me and protecting me, that there is nothing that can touch me except God allow it. Here's what that means. And Peter understood exactly what he was saying because he had experienced it in life. It means that God shields us from the things of this world. This world is out to get you. This world is out to get every believer in Jesus Christ. The world is not only just tolerant of Christians. They are anti-Christian because they are anti-Christ. And when God laid out His picture of our world, both past, present, and future, when God laid that out, He showed us through the coming Antichrist how the world is in reaching out to try to destroy Christ and try to destroy Christians and try to destroy the things of God. That's the way Satan works. But God has given by His power, His protection, His shielding of the people of God. Let me tell you, this world cannot touch you except God allow it. And God will not allow it except to take you and to give you a redemption, a redemptive purpose in your life. God will allow the world sometimes to touch you. Understand? God will allow the world sometimes to tempt you and to draw you away. God doesn't tempt you, but He will allow it. He will test you. But God's shield is always around you. And you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, don't worry when the world comes against you. Why? Because He says, I have overcome the world. God protects you from the world out there trying to destroy you. From the external forces that would destroy you. God also shields you from self. Now listen to me here. He shields you from the internal forces in your life. There's always that battle, the flesh against the spirit. I fight it every day. I'm sure you do as well. If you are a child of God. We fight against against the flesh, against self, every day. Let's admit it. God protects us and shields us from ourselves sometimes, and we had better be glad that He does, because He keeps us from doing things that normally we would do that would get us in real deep trouble. God has the power through His Spirit to touch our life, to control our life. And by that I mean He never does it forcefully. It's when we yield ourselves to Him. But He gives us, by touching us and convicting our conscience and showing us right from wrong, He shields us from those things where we as individuals would destroy ourselves, literally. God shields us not only from the external things in life, but also from the internal things in our life. He keeps us from making decisions that would utterly destroy our witness and our influence and could destroy our life. There's another thing that God shields us from and protects us from. Not only from the world and not only from ourselves, but He guards us from Satan himself. Now the Bible tells us that Satan will present himself, and really the word that's used in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter is that Satan will metamorphosize himself into an angel of light. will try to deceive every believer in Christ, if he can. God protects us from the Satan, from the devil. You see, the devil is out to get us. The devil was out to get Jesus. Why should we expect it to be any different for us? But God limits what Satan can do to a Christian. God limits what the devil can do to tear down an individual. Job in the Old Testament is a good example of that. God allowed him, allowed Satan to do various things to Job's life, but he limited him. You cannot take his life, as Job was being tested. The Bible tells us that God has the power to protect us from Satan. Let me give you what Jesus said in John 17, verse 15 and verse 21, where Jesus was praying for us. Here's what he said. Listen to this. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, the believers, but that you protect them from the evil one, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I, just as you are in me and I am in you. Again, in Colossians, the second chapter, verse 15, we read about the cross of Jesus. And that there, that Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Again in Hebrews 2:14, by his death, by Jesus' death, he destroyed him. He destroyed Satan, who holds the power of death, that is the devil. In Romans 8:37, it says that verse I quote often, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And what I want you to understand, you can never say the devil made me do it. But you can say to Satan himself when he tempts you, you can say in the name of Jesus Christ, get away, Satan. And the Bible says the devil must flee from you. And that word flee, and I shared this with you before, that word flee means to run away in a panic. When you invoke the name of Jesus Christ as a believer in Him, Satan has to flee, has to run away in panic from you. And that is God's protection, God's shielding over your life. One of the great blessings that we have as believers is that God has His hand of protection upon us. His hand of protection upon this church. Let me tell you, Satan cannot have victory in God's church. He's already defeated. And by God's power, we are shielded over those forces of the world, over those forces of self or the flesh, and over those forces of the devil that would come against us and try to destroy the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about something here. The reason for the rapture of the church is because God's power is upon the church, upon you as a believer. And Satan cannot run free as long as the power of God is upon our life and upon the church. Therefore, he raptures the church to usher in the 7 years of tribulation. Leads us to the third thing quickly here. And that is the process by which we are shielded. And here you get to the very first part of that verse. By faith we are shielded. By faith, we are shielded by God's power unto that salvation that is coming at the last time. It all boils down in our walk with God with being children of faith who simply believe God, who simply trust God, who simply walks in the knowledge and in the assurance that we are in God's hands, we're God's children, we have eternal life, we're saved, and we can walk with Him in victory because of the simple truth that we walk by faith. Now, what am I saying for us here tonight? And I'm closing with this. I'm saying simply this. You have a great blessing that you're shielded by God. Do you believe it? And is the belief more than just a head belief? Is it lived out in your behavior and in your action? We walk by faith. We walk in confidence. We walk, as I talked about this morning, satisfied in our knowledge of God in our life. Deep down in our soul, we follow Him. We walk in oneness and fellowship with Him by faith. Because it's faith is the victory. It's our faith that enables us to overcome the world. It's our faith that enables us to stand in the midst of an angry and a violent and a torn apart world and have peace and confidence and comfort in our heart because we're children of God and we're protected by Him. How could all of the disciples, how could each of these face terrible times in the early days of the church? How during the Middle Ages could believers in Christ stand as they were being burned at the stake, as they were being tortured in burning oil, as they were being put to death, and stand for the cause of Jesus Christ? How can believers today stand while their head is severed from their body as they take a stand for Jesus Christ? How can believers today sit in a classroom in Columbine, Colorado, and when they're asked, "Are you a believer in God?" they say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ," with a gun pointed at their head and then the trigger pulled? How does a believer in Jesus Christ today stand in the midst of the persecution and martyrdom and death? It's because we know we are shielded by God, that our salvation is sure. It's because of our faith in a God who is faithful, who always fulfills and always does exactly what He says He will do. It's that kind of faith. It's that kind of trust in God. It's that kind of a belief that we are shielded by Him that gives us that strength to stand in the midst of persecution, to stand in the midst of rejection. As long as we know we're in the hands of God, let the world throw what it will against us. Let self try to intervene. Let the devil try to have his way. We will stand with God because we're standing by faith with God's power upon us. Because we know that we know that we know we have salvation in Him. We live eternally with Him. Now, what do you need to do with that knowledge? That's where it comes to us. We need to evaluate where our faith really is. Are we overcoming the world? Are we overcoming self on a daily basis? Are we rejecting the temptations that Satan hurls our way? Are we alert to the deceptions that he tries to put within us? Maybe here today, we need to look at our heart, evaluate where our faith really is. And like the centurion of old, we might need to say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my faith in you to grow and to be ever stronger. Help me to never doubt you. Maybe here tonight you need to recommit your heart and your life to walking by faith. That's the challenge for us here today. Our altar is open. We invite you to come. Let's stand together and you step out as we sing.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day and God bless.